This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
On VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And a Merry Christmas, everybody. It is VSiN by the books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Gents Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're rocking our red for Santa. I hope everybody out there is waking up having a wonderful Christmas morning. Do you open up the gifts? Have you done that pre-show, or is that something you do after the show? Did you do the Christmas Eve tradition of the one gift that you're allowed to, by the rules of society, to open up one on Christmas Eve?
I love it, buddy. Merry Christmas to you, our entire staff back in Vegas, our esteemed Joe, producer Joe Friso back in the great state of New York. It is one of those things here in our household, Dave, that I'm horrible at like wanting to hold on to open the gifts until Christmas. And thank God Michelle is the same speed. So we have the rule. We do like small gifts for each other, and then we do one very big gift. So in February, I'll be taking some time off and we're going to go on vacation. That was our big gift to each other. Was a little trip there. However, as I told you, we host Christmas Eve. So we had the family over last night. And thank goodness, her middle sister has twins, boy and a girl. They just turned 12. Their birthday, Dave, is a couple of days before today. So we do the birthday presents yesterday for them, and then they get their Christmas presents today. Now, the best gift and the one that keeps on giving, they still believe in Santa. Thank God. And I don't think there's any kids up right now, so I feel safe saying it. And the NORAD tracker, and for all those parents out there that are listening, that are up probably finalizing some wrapping and all that, the NORAD tracker, before they left last night, had Santa right over North Carolina. So Connor is freaking out. He's like, oh, we got to get home. We got to get home. And I'm like, dude, you got time. That's a couple hour flight, you know, to Northeast Ohio here, buddy. You're okay. But you got to get home and you got to get down. Don't kind of meander, like get your PJs on and let's get to sleep.
In bed.
So we're excited to go over and see what Santa brought the kids here later on today.
It's the best. I do the childhood memories, mom and dad, absolutely the best. Thinking of them this morning in Virginia Beach. I know they're watching as well. And I just remember always being under the tree waiting for the parents to come down, because the kids always beat the parents down, right? For them, it's and I just remember the last gifts coming and they start rolling down the steps and my dad says, oh no, the watches. So we knew what was in one of them, that they were rolling down the steps. But it is. Merry Christmas, everybody. If you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network, listening on SiriusXM Channel 158, we are really, really appreciative that you're spending part of your Christmas morning with us. We're going to try to cash some tickets today. Got a great show lined up here on this Christmas Day. Going to get to our futures and really focus on those in college basketball, too, because Greg Peterson is going to join the program. He's kind enough to be with us here on Christmas morning. So we'll get his futures forecast here in college basketball in case you haven't been paying too much attention. Big day in the NBA today, Jensen. You're going to bet that build for everybody out there fantasy-wise here, looking at some lineups there. What goes up must come down, a tradition unlike any other for us, a special Christmas edition of Stock Up and Stock Down. So a lot of fun to get to, but we do have big time news and changing numbers in the NFL on three Christmas Day games today. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Boy, do I feel fortunate the number I got earlier in the week, because that yesterday's price is not today's, Jensen. Josh Johnson is going to be the starting quarterback for the Commanders today against the Cowboys in the first of three. This one's in Washington, D.C., technically still in Maryland. They're going to be moving over there to D.C. at some time. And Josh Johnson, we'll get that start here in for the injured Marcus Mariota. We know Jaden Daniels has already been shut down for the year. We had 6.5s earlier in the week. We're seeing 9, 9.5s now. And I do like the Cowboys today, people, but sometimes a number does get out of hand where you can't play it anymore. Jensen, I wonder for you, has that reached that point here once we see 9, 9.5s?
Boy, it was remarkable. And we saw the millions official lines come out yesterday. And you and I were kind of surmising, too, if we could get the Cowboys at a flat 7, that would be amazing. So they end up being posted at 7.5. And then as we're like serving dinner last night, I'm thank God didn't check my phone until after we were done. I'm like, what are you, 8.5? Whoa, geez, oh, man. I do think, though, and this is why we did it yesterday, we were talking about potential teaser plays and being able to get the Cowboys down to that -1, -1.5. If you jumped on it, good for you. If not, I still think there's some viable ways to play this game. Stay tuned. Daily Gridiron will certainly hit that. But yeah, this is going to be a fascinating game, not only because, Dave, the first half, but also how long do some of the starters play? We have guys that are trying to get incentives cashed as well. So very anxious to see what both coaches decide to do here as we get into the third and fourth quarter.
I think you raise a really good point today. I know it's the holiday, and if you're with family and friends and you're watching casually, that's one thing. If you're trying to win something today, you should look at those live numbers and look at where maybe Dak Prescott doesn't play the whole second half. You should maybe you get those points in the first half to a first half over and then look to come back maybe in an under as some of these guys get shut down. So we'll talk about those numbers as the day goes too. And that totals up to 50.5, 51 in some spots as well. The Lions and the Vikings will be the middle game today. This one has gone up as well. We know that obviously Minnesota's got quarterback issues as well. Not for the Lions. So Jared Goff's going to be there. They're going to have their full complement of guys. I'm on Ross St. Brown. Keep an eye on him. He still is on that injured report, but we know he's been playing the last couple of weeks with that high ankle sprain. 7.5 is where this number is now, Jensen. Low total, though, of 43. So unlike the Cowboy game, you see where those differences lie there. What's your take early here? Anything changed from yesterday?
Not really too much. And again, another candidate for us in our millions plays, too. And I think the under is where I got to yesterday. Just kind of knowing that we talk through what do you expect and what can you bank on here from the Lions. I think you and I agree that the Vikings offense going to be challenged with Max Brosmer here this afternoon. But also, if you were willing to lay the 7.5 at home with the Lions just a handful of days ago against the Steelers, and that doesn't even get close to getting home, where are you now today, just 3-4 days removed, on the road in a must-win situation to keep your season alive? I wouldn't be comfortable laying the 7.5 either. So the total is where I targeted, Dave. I played the under 43.5, seeing some 43s at circa. To me, you look at, okay, can the Vikings keep pace enough in that defense? They've played really well, right? Do they continue to give Jared Goff and that offense fits? Very anxious to see what the game plan is for them this afternoon.
You know, the Chris Oladokun-led Chiefs today, you know how much I like this game. I wish I'd waited because I could have gotten 14. It's at 14 right now behind me here at circa 13.5, still at other places here. So check those numbers because it does feel like the public at least is betting a lot of the favorites today. The Cowboys are being bet up. The Lions have been bet up. And now the Broncos have bet up. And I get it. Chris Oladokun is not going to be a guy that people go, wow, I got to back him and take the 14 here. But I think with another low total that we're looking at, potentially still right now in the 30s, that you would have to look at and go, whoa, how do I get an under in a Denver cover? That would be potentially a shutout or keeping the team total of Kansas City under their posted total. I actually think this could be one of those one-score games. Could be trickier than people think here. I think the Chiefs will be live. What do you make of this one now? Denver needs it. Kansas City, obviously, 1-2 Cancun.
Great minds think alike, buddy. We will definitely be on the Chiefs plus 13.5 for our millions plays. You and I agreeing that that is a lot of points here, especially at home. This is the final home game of the year, potentially final home game in the career of Travis Kelce in a Kansas City Chief uniform, heck, in an NFL uniform. I also got to the under 36.5, much for that same reasoning for you, Dave. When we looked at the Vikings offense, what do we expect from a backup quarterback? Hey, you got a third string quarterback now for Kansas City. Is it as simple for Andy Reid as, hey, Chris Oladokun, we don't want to ask too much of you. Is this a healthy diet of the run game? Is this the check down central on third and manageable? Are you going to punt and play field position and allow, you know, right now your best unit, which is your defense, and Steve Spagnuolo to try and be able to limit the attack of the Broncos? I'm with you, pal. This is one where you're putting the dessert in, you're getting a little wine in you, and you're kind of keeping one eye open of like, is it really 10-7 in the fourth quarter? Let's go. So hopefully that's where we're at. And hopefully the Chiefs a chance to win it there late in the fourth quarter.
Lowest total on the board today here at 36.5 here on Christmas Day. 14 now is where that number is. And Oladokun can use his legs. My one concern there, Jensen, is we're out of quarterbacks here, right? So how much do you want him to run? But that is something that might be an effective weapon if they choose to use it. Five games on the NBA slate here. We always kind of look at it. This is the unofficial start of the NBA season for those who have not been watching since game one of 82. So when you have that and you got the Spurs and Thunder part three, well, OKC, it feels like it might be their kryptonite to headline this. What do we make? Do we have a budding rivalry out west right now with San Antonio and OKC?
I think we do, but I think the Thunder have the attention of everyone, and they do not want to have a little homecoming be spoiled. So stay tuned. This could also be a multi-unit play from yours truly. We'll give that one out here coming up later on when we bet the build as well on the NBA slate today. So I tell you, it is good to see, right? Because we did not want another year of the, you know, Memorial JVT Oklahoma City Invitational, right? You know, we want some competition right here in the Western Conference. I think it'd be a good one today, but I do have a very strong play on a side here in this game we'll give out later on today.
Fascinating. We'll find out what it looks like this summer when we get to the NBA playoffs here and whether or not it's still going to be the usual suspects, the Denvers of the world, the Golden States of the world, those type of teams, Lakers, of course. But San Antonio, man, here they come. 10-point dogs here in this trilogy matchup here against OKC today. When we come back, let's get to some NFL headlines here on this Christmas Day. And looking ahead to Saturday, a big one in Green Bay with the Ravens and the Packers. Who's going to play quarterback for either team? We'll discuss next right here. It's the Christmas edition of VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Merry Christmas, one and all. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here on this Christmas Day edition. We've got three games in the NFL to break down in totality as the show goes on today. Get our official picks as we like here on Christmas Day. And, you know, shout out here in Tennessee. If you're watching here in FanDuel Sports Network, Jensen, we're both wearing our Christmas reds today. I didn't have anything really Christmassy, but, you know, Walmart never disappoints. And I've got the Tennessee Christmas, my first one. So if you can see, that's my Tennessee, my homage to my new state here, even though I'm technically in the Kentucky border over here at the Mint Gaming Hall. But a lot of fun. Everybody out there doing their last minute Christmas shopping yesterday. It was packed in White House, Tennessee. So my first one here in these parts, Jensen. It's not going to be the first rodeo here for Lamar Jackson. He's been around the block. Now, he's not finished a lot of seasons in years past for the Baltimore Ravens. And maybe that's part of the crux of the matter here. And we don't know about his availability for Saturday in a very important game, obviously, for both teams with the Packers and the Ravens. And we'll get to the quarterback issues here with the Packers as well. But now we're seeing reports, and the number's gone up to 3.5, by the way. That's a key number that's moved up from 2.5 to 3 to 3.5 to the Packers, that maybe Lamar Jackson can't go. And then, shall we say, reports have surfaced that maybe they're at a crossroads in Charm City with their star, two-time league MVP quarterback Lamar Jackson, and might he be dealt in the offseason? Now, before we get to that in the article that was posted in the Baltimore Sun, and that's why it gets a little bit more credence when you see that in that neck of the woods, John Harbaugh was asked about his relationship, which some anonymous sources had kind of quoted in said article. And John Harbaugh addressed that concern, if there is one, yesterday. we will get to Coach Harbaugh, I promise you, in short order here. But Jensen, this is not anything terribly new. If you go back a couple years ago, when Lamar Jackson was basically getting ready to sign his new deal, remember it was with his mother, was negotiating the deal with Steve Bisciotti in the front office, and he said he wanted to go else. He got an offer from the Ravens, and he said, okay, appreciate the offer, but I'd like to take my wares essentially to the open market. And the Ravens, if you recall, said, go ahead. If you can find a suitor that you like, let us know what the deal is. We'll see if we can match it. And he went out there, and it was not what you would think the market would be for a Lamar Jackson out there. And I remember the Falcons specifically were a team that wouldn't even talk to Lamar Jackson. And then they ended up drafting Michael Penix and trading for Kirk Cousins. That's the quarterback route they went, a rookie and a veteran, instead of potentially making a play at a two-time league MVP. So, Jensen, I bring that up in context that when you hear these stories that potentially they'd be looking to deal him, they did get the deal done, obviously, in Baltimore. It is not something that's completely new, but does it feel different with more issues at the injury department here for the most important position on the field?
Yeah, it does. And right now, so he's in his age 28 season, Dave, a cap hit of $43.5 million right now, which is going to escalate north of $74 million. Let me say it again. Lamar Jackson, age 29 season next year for the Ravens, it's a cap hit of $74.5 million. Not only is it next year, but it will also be potentially in 2027. Now, there is an opt-out portion in his contract for 2027 as well, and he'd be forfeiting about 4 years and $206 million left on the deal. So interesting crossroads, and it bears out because, you know, you're looking at, as you mentioned, the injury issues. It's not only how he plays the position, but you're seeing it pretty stark of where the Baltimore Ravens offense this year when he was right versus after the leg injury. You think he was north of like 15 miles an hour on rushes. He's now down to 10. And you people who drive cars for a living know exactly the difference of 5 miles an hour. Heck, we know it too. Is okay, when you're a human being on land trying to run down a guy who's probably one of the most dynamic dual threat quarterbacks we've had in the league, you know, that's a complete complexion change of the offense. So I know the rumors are out there, and I throw it back to you with this idea. One of the destinations has been rumored to be Miami. Could you imagine Lamar Jackson in that offense and what he would do down there versus does Baltimore decide to roll the dice, keep him, and then try and tweak the roster around him? You got two things that are true right now, Dave, is that Derrick Henry has had an issue trying to hold on to the football here the last couple of years.
Yep.
Is he even on the roster next year? If that is the case, your two best players, you know, that's a full facelift. And so I'm very anxious to see if ownership says, okay, now is the perfect time. Steelers are in transition. They don't have a quarterback of the future yet. Joe Burrow kind of wants out of Cincinnati. Yeah, in so much as him basically being like, I don't like playing here and I'm not having fun. The Browns are a world away from competing in the AFC North. So wouldn't this be the time? You don't necessarily have to tear it down, Dave, but you certainly got to transition at a time where you can still be the class of the AFC North.
Ironically, if Mike McDaniel was still the head coach down there in South Beach, and we don't know that that's going to be the case, but if he is still the guy, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think exactly what you're bringing up. That'd be interesting. Like, I'd be excited to see what he could do with Lamar Jackson. No disrespect to Tua Tagovailoa. This is a guy you don't think about using his legs, obviously. And it's really a kind of a slant guy in Tua and get the ball out of his hands with Lamar. It's a different kind of operation there completely when you're able to use your legs and you've got that quick twitch with that right arm. And he can throw it with the best of them as deep a ball as you want to throw. Lamar can get it done. Let's hear from Harbaugh, because John did address, and I know this from my journalism days in Washington, D.C. for almost two decades. When you use anonymous sources, and I never tried to do something like that, it does get the ire sometimes of players and coaches. Let's hear from John with some of those issues.
I think I said earlier in the season, we'll take too much credence in anonymous type sources, so I don't know where that's coming from. I've never seen that ever. You know, that's not something that I've ever witnessed, and I'm in every meeting. So, and to speculate on how I feel about it, I'll tell you how I feel. You know, I'm pretty transparent. I think all the guys in the building will tell you, you know, if I have something of conversation, something that I want to talk to them about, I'm right up front. So that's, you know, that would be wrong to say that. That's not true. Had a great conversation with Lamar this morning about a few things and football and how he's feeling, things like that. So our relationship is A+. So I love him. Always have, always will. And I know he's fighting like crazy to get back. So anonymous reports or things that get said or written or whatever, I don't really, I don't need anybody speaking for me, you know. So just ask me, and I'll tell you what I think.
You know, I've said this to you before, just to be transparent here, Jensen. I've got an affinity for John, and I like where the way he kind of attacks this. That's about as uncomfortable as you would hear him, and he still seems very comfortable. You know what I mean? Like, he's pretty much at ease with who he is and his relationship with players, certainly on that squad, and certainly with Lamar. So I don't know how much truth there is to the story in the Baltimore Sun today, but it is out there. And again, the reporter is normally going to stick by their sources. But again, when they are anonymous sources, I can understand that. You want a quote from the head coach, you just ask him. John Harbaugh is not ducking the media. He never has up there at Owings Mills. That's one thing for sure. So does that change the opinion at all when you hear it from the coach? I do sense some frustration when you go back to when he was injured and at halftime when they interviewed Harbaugh, and he kind of expected Lamar to play, and then he didn't play in the second half. Now, that's maybe the desire to get him out there because he knows as 3.5-point dogs to Green Bay, no disrespect to Snoop Huntley, but it's not going to give them the best chance to win with their playoffs hanging by a very thin thread.
Agreed. And you just kind of look overall at the production here from Baltimore, and it is so paling in comparison to what we're really used to. So a little below league average in yards per game, right around 324.9. The rush yards per game, and this is one they used to lead just going away. They're actually third this year behind the Bills and the Bears in that category. But most importantly, it's about the points. They're dead even in league average, right around 23.9. And this is a group that's been so dynamic. We've seen them routinely put up 30-plus at will when Lamar Jackson is healthy. But there again, that's the operative point. How much, knowing next year and the year beyond, do you want to commit knowing that your cap hit is what you're not going to be able to have a lot of flexibility from roster construction? So is now the time, Dave, where, as I said, it's not just Lamar Jackson. Derrick Henry is up there now. He's long in the tooth. It is what it is.
Yep.
Is this the facelift time, and is it operative for your salary cap situation? Like, let's move on. Let's find our next guy. Let's go draft a young quarterback in this draft, and let's start transitioning away from the Lamar Jackson era.
Ravens are plus $8 to win the division. Steelers are minus $14. Remember, this one combination, any Steeler win, any Raven loss, and Pittsburgh will be your champions of the AFC North. Cowboys aren't winning the East, neither the Commanders, but who's winning today's game as 9-point favorites and a high total of 51? Let's break down that one to begin our Christmas Day edition here of Football on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Christmas edition of VSiN by the Books rolls on, and before the lines moves, the Sharp Plays is already there. They're not going to just follow the market. They're going to help shape it for you so you don't have to outsmart those billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own. Build with the Sharp Plays because they're going to have your back every time. Powered by advanced AI, connected approver insider sources, and active across Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, college hoops, you name it. Sharp Plays is going to deliver that serious edge that bettors rely on. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights straight to your inbox or X feed. They've been around the block since 2011, backed up with documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Stay ahead of the line. Visit SharpPlays.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here on this Christmas Day edition of VSiN by the Books. Shout out to Jim Campbell. Gave us a nice tweet, said, "Merry Christmas, boys. Having a nice, relaxing morning with you guys on Nesson here in the Northeast." So we appreciate that. Also got a talking about our last conversation from Chris Ebert, says Miami can't take Lamar's contract with Tua's dead money. Miami has to go cheap quarterback next year if they shed Tua. And that's the thing. I would like to see the McDaniel and Lamar Jackson combo just from an aesthetics point of view. I think it'd be an interesting pairing. But that Tua money that they have on that dead cap, that's going to be really tough for Miami, Jensen, next year to figure out. What do you do? I think Tua might have to come back, kind of like Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, and you keep him on as a backup because I don't know who's going to take the salary.
Yeah, really intriguing here. So just checking on SpotTrack here, just some of the projected numbers. And next year, remember, the salary cap goes up to $304.3 million. If you're looking at Baltimore, under contract, they have just a tick, Dave, under $40 million of salary cap room at the moment. Miami is really in trouble. They're actually projected to be about $3 million over the cap with what they have right now. So they're going to have to do a little wheeling and dealing. They're going to have to, you know, make some roster construction adjustments. But hey, I don't know if you were to tell us beginning of the year, Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson may be playing their final years with their respective teams. Imagine saying that, knowing what we did at the beginning of this year. That would be wild to wrap your head around if we went back to September and you're like, those two guys? Come on. That's crazy.
And it's going to be interesting. And I know that there are things now that maybe we don't see on the horizon coming in the offseason for teams like that. You mentioned with the Bengals and the Ravens. If the Ravens do not rally here and make the postseason again, plus $8 to do just that. So it doesn't seem likely. Changes are going to have to be made. I keep going back to the New York Mets. We'll get to them a little bit later on. When you missed the playoffs last year, the way they did with the expectations they had, they jettisoned four key players from that. Like, so you have to make moves, you would think. I don't think you can just keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And maybe that's where the Ravens are right now with Lamar, never getting to a Super Bowl with a two-time league MVP. That one is hard to stomach. Today in Dallas, the first of three, in D.C. Dallas will be in D.C., but I say this all the time. My friends in D.C. know this well. The second largest contingent of Dallas Cowboy fans reside in the nation's capital. This goes way back historically. There will be a lot of Cowboy fans in attendance today at Northwest Stadium. So, Jensen, when you see this number now skyrocketing up to 9, 9.5 out there, I think part of that handicap for us, and we played it early in the week when it was 6.5 and got some nice teaser legs too, even yesterday that we talked about here in the program. We got in on those really good numbers today. Those numbers are not as good. Brian Schottenheimer's a first-year head coach. Dan Quinn used to coach in Dallas and worked for Jerry Jones. There's a lot of tentacles here. I know that it's going to mean something to Schottenheimer to try to build a culture. And if you know his father at all, Marty, in his various stops, especially Kansas City, he didn't tank, man. That was not kind of in his DNA, right? And I don't think it's going to be in Brian's DNA to lay one down here. But we did see at the end of the game last week against the Chargers in the fourth quarter where they waved the flag and pulled out the starters. So the reason why I bring that up in context to some numbers in the futures market, I played Dak Prescott 9-1 to have the most passing yards in the league. He's 4 behind Matthew Stafford. Does that matter at all in the equation of Dak and Schottenheimer to say they know that too? Now, while it might not be something that you want to risk injury by playing, and every time you play, you do risk injury, right? I wonder if things like that, Jensen, could keep him in this game this week and potentially next week in New York. Would you go after some stats and some yardage hunting, if you will, to try to I guess, get one thing at the end of the year? You could say, hey, our quarterback led the league in yards.
It is one way to handicap it. And just kind of looking through Opta AI right now, just to see if they have a take on it, they actually feel that he might go under his pass prop for, and this was a fascinating look for us early in the week. So Dak Prescott, 274.5 pass yards. That's his over under at DraftKings. Opta actually has him projected below that, right around 254. So about a 21 yard differential there to the under. And part of our thought process was, if you wanted to lay it with the Cowboys, how long does Dak and company play? And I think you and I got to your idea of Brian Schottenheimer. Like, he's trying to finish this thing off with a lot of momentum and say, right, okay, yeah, we didn't make the playoffs. We didn't achieve our goal of being able to play in the postseason. But we're trending in the direction where Jerry, the front office, everyone can look at it and say, okay, we made the right decision. We like where our momentum is, and the group is playing. That's the other caveat here, Dave, the last couple of weeks, is the group playing for the head coach, especially young head coaches early in their tenures. Are they playing for him? Because that in and of itself is an indictment either positively or negatively of, okay, we got the right guy. Even though we're not going to play in the postseason, these guys played through the finish line for him.
If you're the Commanders, and look, if you want to back the Commanders at 9.5, you're getting a great number now, right? Earlier in the week, it was 6.5. So you're getting an extra field goal almost in some spots here if you want to take DC. But it is Josh Johnson. It's not Mariota. I would have absolutely been looking to the Commander side if Marcus was playing quarterback today, but he's not. And so now you go to Josh Johnson and I go, okay, he's been around the block for a long time in this league. So we've seen him in spots back up in years past and look good at times, and other times go, well, now I see why he's a third string quarterback, carrying out a roster spot here on a 53 man roster. What do you expect to get from Johnson today? Like that total at 51, this Cowboy defense is not very good. We've seen that. I thought they had turned the corner. They had not. And I was fooled on that after their 3-game winning streak beating the Chiefs. Is there any resistance from the Cowboys? Is this just about can Josh Johnson find open guys because they could be running free?
Okay, so the good thing about this game, and I think it's where you and I got to, I know I did last night, is playing the over. You mentioned off the top of the show, you can find some totals still at 50.5. I know Circa has 51s right now. Dave, you are looking at two defenses that have allowed in their last 10 games, respectively, an average of 30 points each. Okay. The Vanderbilt math tells me, even here on Christmas morning, that 30 plus 30 is 60. That's a double digit difference from the posted total that we have right now. So, regardless, and I realize we have caveats here with backup quarterback and Josh Johnson, how long could Dak and the boys be left in there potentially into the late stages of the second half? I think that they stay as far as the scoring goes. I just don't know if the defense can limit Dallas. So if you don't like the spread, then Dave, potentially a pivot might be Dallas team total. And I think that would be an intriguing over there too. If you don't want anything to do with the line, I think Dallas's offense has their way. And regardless of who's in there, remember Joe Milton, I think if he does get some action today, it's still a guy that's tight. He's going to want to show what he can do. Okay. There's an audition at work there as well. So I don't think the Cowboys offensively take their foot off the gas pedal. I think they keep going right through all four quarters. So if you don't want to lay the 9, if you miss the 7.5, which we're going to play in Circa Millions, then I think you could look at team total, but buddy, it's not like the Dallas defense is standing up and say, oh yeah, we're really excited to stop Josh Johnson and company. I think you're getting points from both sides today.
You know, it was late November last year. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott was injured, right? Cooper Rush was the starting quarterback there. Remember, there was a wild ending to that one, 34-26 in a meaningless game for Dallas at that point, and still went in there and got that W. So this game still does matter even when there's nothing, quote unquote, to play for. So that's why I do think you're right with that total. If you want to get there to an over, I do think at least for three quarters, as long as this thing is competitive, I think these teams are going to go out there still trying to win. So the closer the game might be, if it's a one-score game or just fringe two-score game, I think that you'll see that effort still there to score and possibly get that total to go up. What would worry me is if Dallas got out to a huge lead, say, a big 20-plus point lead, they pull their guys, and then you wave the proverbial white flags. That would lead to an under. But if the game is competitive, ironically, then I do think you get towards the over. If it gets lopsided to the way of the Cowboys, I could see them calling off the dogs here, and maybe that gets you to an under. So in-game could be very, very important in that one as well. What about the Vikings, their quarterback situation? And the Lions, are they going to lose 3 in a row? What's happened to Dan Campbell and company? Let's discuss the middle game of Christmas Day. That's next right here. Beeson by the Books.
You're tuned in tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue the Christmas Day edition of VSiN by the Books, and reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. Mission Media helps you brand and your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening, podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@VSiN.com. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Merry Christmas, one and all, to everybody listening and watching out there. We really do appreciate you spending part of your Christmas morning with us here on the network. And we had a great lineup today that we're going to get to a little bit. So we're going to have you covered pillar to post here on this beautiful holiday on this Thursday morning. Three games in the NFL today. We talked about the Cowboys and the Commanders a little bit in the last segment. Do want to get to the Lions and the Vikings, and Max Brosmer is going to be taking under center today for the Vikings. I felt like the Viking fan base was kind of excited to see when J.J. McCarthy was struggling, right? Now, oh, J.J. McCarthy can't play. He's not our future. Hey, let's take a look at this Brosmer dude and see what he's all about. And then they went to Pacific Northwest. He threw an underhanded pass. He got picked for a pick six, and it was a disaster that ensued from that point on. 2.0, Max Brosmer, now that J.J. McCarthy is out again. I still feel like, one, big picture, did you see enough from J.J.? He's going to be going into year three already on that rookie deal next year, which is kind of crazy, that they've seen enough to say, yes, it is still J.J. McCarthy, people. So no matter what Max Brosmer looks like today, let's not get too excited, and maybe he could cement himself as a backup to J.J. McCarthy next year.
Yeah, this is, again, all these backups getting opportunities. It's not just for their organization. It's also for the 31 others, too, that want to do their due diligence and head into the draft. I mean, a lot of mocks right now, Dave, if the Giants end up getting the number one selection, if they have a decision, is it Jackson Dart for them for the future? Or, you know, is it a Fernando Mendoza? The Raiders, if they are the number one selection, you'd be hard pressed to think that they pass on a Fernando Mendoza to be able to come in and be the quarterback of the future. My Cleveland Browns, is it Shedeur Sanders? Unlikely, at least that's a personal opinion. You know, is a guy like Dante Moore from Oregon, is he the answer? Then you start to kind of go down the draft board here. Let's say the Cincinnati Bengals, Dave, pick at 9. Are they trading Joe Burrow and drafting their quarterback of the future? The Miami Dolphins, picking are at 10. You know, are they in the market for it? Are they going to go make a trade? You know, things of that nature. So, to roundaboutly answer your point, the Vikings right now currently pick 15th. They are projected to take Jermaid McCoy, a cornerback from Tennessee. And so just kind of looking at where some of these draft day potentials are, you would think that Minnesota taking J.J. McCarthy where they did would at least have him as the projected starter and maybe bring in a veteran that if it isn't there, then maybe that's a guy they can pivot to and say, all right, maybe next year when you have, you know, the Arch Mannings of the world and maybe a deeper quarterback class to choose from, maybe they don't identify their quarterback of the future in this upcoming draft, but potentially down the line into 2027.
And the reason why we bring this up is that is obviously not just the most important position, but if you feel like you don't have one, if you've done enough evaluation. And I'm not saying that about J.J. McCarthy, because that's something internally KOC has to do, and they have to do it as a front office. But if not, then Brosmer is going to get a real shot here to still be on this roster next year and say, hey, our quarterback room is good. We're good with J.J. McCarthy. We're good with Max Brosmer. You and I talk about it in the summertime all the time, evaluating win totals. You better be looking at quarterback depth, because we talk about it every year, Jensen. They just don't stay healthy. It's an anomaly to get what Matty Stafford's done this year with the Rams. It's an anomaly for Jared Goff to stay as healthy as he has. You just look across the league here, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, I mean, all these elite quarterbacks, it happens every year. So if you feel like you're good in your quarterback room, that allows you then to really build up the rest of the roster. If not, you have to readdress this position as often as necessary. For the Lions side, they've got to win both games here. and they have to get a lot of help. And that would be the Packers losing two, and then the Lions could get back into the playoff hunt. Look, they've been decimated by injuries. Again, nobody's going to feel sorry for them on the defensive side of the ball, but it really has been. And, you know, again, they've got more coming into this game as well. Can it just, does it have to be all offense? I mean, that's a low total for a Lions game at 43, because you think, man, it's a Brian Flores defense on the other side that's been playing really good football too. So is that why that total was suppressed? That as good as this Lions offense can be, they struggled to run the ball against the Steelers last week, and that, I think, ultimately really cost them.
I think so. And also remember that you look at when Detroit is home, they're a certain style and they're a certain team. It feels like, Dave, when they go on the road, it evaporates, and their inefficiency away from Motown has been really stark. You get a divisional opponent. We usually say this when you look at these divisional matchups second time around. Defenses usually get the better of those offenses. Now, Max Brosmer, what efficiency are you going to expect from the Vikings offense? Are they predicated on, we're going to play field position? Just like you and I expect, Chris Oladokun may not put up a 30 spot here for the Chiefs tonight.
Right.
They want to bank on Steve Spagnuolo and that defense. Hey, if we got to play field position, we'll lean on our defense to keep this one close. So to me, I think you have division familiarity. That's number one. Number two, completely different squad for the Lions, home versus away. And finally, revisionist history tells us, Dave, if you want to delay, and you did, the 7.5 to 8, depending on the number you got at home for the Lions against the Steelers just a handful of days ago, and you saw what happened there, how are you getting to the window laying the Lions 7.5 on the road against a divisional foe that their defense is really good at home? Here's where I got to it. I played a 6-point teaser. Back when it was an 8 there for the Cowboys, I got the Cowboys down to 2, and I got the Lions down to 1. So 6-point teaser, Cowboys -2, Lions -1. Let's take the spread out of this. Let's just get the Lions to win this game, hopefully by 2 or more points, and we'll stay there. For us, selfishly, we'd like potentially a Lions win between 2 and 7 points. That would be the nice.
That would be perfect. I'm right there with you, because I teased this down a couple days ago to 1.5s for Dallas and Detroit at -$1.14. It's like the best price I could ever get on a teaser to those numbers here in Kentucky. So I feel like, boy, again, getting ahead of the number is great. Now we got to get those things to cash, but I'd really like that between 2 and 7 so we can cash our ATS tickets here on the Vikings. Max Brosmer, let's go. Let's see what you have. As Jensen would say, your table is now ready. Jensen, let's talk about Chris Oladokun, because look, I get it. If you're betting on Dallas and Detroit and Denver today, the 3Ds here on the road, you're betting on Bo Nix and Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. You're not betting on Josh Johnson and Max Brosmer and now Chris Oladokun. So am I going to get okey-doked here by Chris, and all of a sudden I'm getting so excited about 13.5, you can get 14 in some spots, and he's just going to lay an egg and the Broncos are going to roll, and I'm going to wake up tomorrow and come on the show with you and go, what was I thinking with Chris Oladokun and company? To me, it's more of a bet on Steve Spagnuolo in their defense to be able to keep this score close and keep this Bronco offense, which I don't think is something we fear too much. Good, but I don't think we look at them and go, oh my goodness, it's an unstoppable force. Not with Kansas City's defense. That's where I think the bet is that Oladokun doesn't turn the football over. You play conservatively here, and you have a shot to win it. Kind of like Phillip Rivers a couple weeks ago in Seattle. Give your team a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so a couple of things I think are true here. First, the Chiefs side. Even with Patrick Mahomes, Dave, how about this stat? The Chiefs, 11-4 to the under this year. That was even with Mahomes. This offense has stunk the entire year. Listen, no bones about it. It has just been very, very bad. Last three games, the Chiefs are averaging, Dave, 10.7 points. Average, 10.7, okay? We know this is a look-ahead spot for Denver, too, all right? They got the Chargers on deck. Potentially, that could be for the West. Maybe it's a chance for Denver to get the number one seed in the AFC. You know where this is going. Running the football, play field position, get out healthy, let your defense win this game. I think that those are the four components for a Denver victory. That got me, Dave, to an under. I played the under 36.5 here. I don't think Chris Oladokun is going to blow me away. If he does, I'll tip my cap, and it is what it is. But I also think that you and I will get there on the millions play, too, at 13. That's way too much, my man. Way too many points. Christmas night, too much pride in that Kansas City locker room not to stand up tonight.
We're backing Chris Oladokun and Max Brosmer in two of the three games today. Merry Christmas to us, Jensen Lewis. Let's see how those presents, if they unfold here as the day goes on. All right, when we come back here, we got a great show here coming up. Greg Hoops Peterson is kind enough to stick around. He's going to join us in the next hour. And also our naughty and nice list here on Christmas Day. We'll get to those right here on VSiN by the Books.